Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rei Avram Goldhar, and today Maseches Beya Daf Dal, the first parak Beitza Shalnolda Biyantiv. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it's not in the Brisa. Cherem say in the name of Reb Eliezer, Beitza Teachel Hi VeIma, an egg that was laid in Yantiv may be eaten, both it and its mother hen. The Gemara asks what the case is dealing with. If the Brisa is referring to a hen that's omedes l'achila, that was designated for consumption, it's obvious that both the hen and the egg are permitted. If it's referring to a hen omedes l'gadol beitzim, that was designated to produce eggs, then both the hen and the egg are prohibited. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yezra subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda's broad application of Muxalan. Therefore, since the hen was not specifically designated as yantav meal, both the hen and the egg are muksa. Rabbi Zera answers that the brisa means te'achal agav ima, that the egg may be eaten on account of its mother, which Rashi explains to mean that if the hen is eaten, then the egg may be eaten. Abai clarified that the case is when one purchased the hen before Yantiv for no divine purpose. If he shechted it on Yantiv, huvara de l'achila omedes, the hen has been determined to have been designated for consumption, and the egg is permitted. If it was not shechted, huvara de l'gadol beitzim omedes, it's determined that it was designated to produce eggs, and so the hen and the egg are muksa. Point number two, the Rav Masna said, Eitzim shenashim nedaku l'toch hatanah b'yantav. If branches fell from a palm tree directly into an oven on yantav, marbalem eitzim muchanim umesikan, one may add on to them other wood that had been prepared for kindling and may burn them. The Gemara asks why this is permitted, given that when he arranges the wood in the oven, he'll unavoidably move the prohibited wood, which is muksa. The Gemara answers, kevin deruba de heteraninu. Since the majority of the wood is not muksa, when he moves the wood around, he's moving only permitted wood. Rashi explains that the muksa wood is batal barov, nullified in the majority. When the Gemara further questions why this is permissible, given the rule that ein mevatrin isu l'chatchila, we do not deliberately nullify a prohibited item, it answers that this rule only applies to the raises, not to the rabbanans. The Gemara goes on to clarify that even according to Rav Ashi, who holds kol davar sheyesh matirin afil but the rabbanan lo batil, any item that will eventually become permitted, even if it's only prohibited now, is that the Rabbanan cannot become batal, that only applies de esi l'asur be'ene, when the prohibited item remains extant. But here, the prohibited item is being consumed in the fire, and therefore may be nullified. And point number three, the Gemara asks why we observe 2 days of Yantav and Galus. Now that we know when Rosh Chodesh is established, referring to their knowledge that was gleaned from the fixed calendar introduced by Hillel, the final Nasi, at the end of the Amoraic era. The Gemara answers, it's because of the following message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Yizaharu b'minhag avosechem yedechem. Be careful to perpetuate the custom of your fathers that is in your hands and continue to observe the 2 days of Yantiv. Zimni negazri amalchus gezerah va'asi l'kokule. For someday the Gentile government may issue a decree forbidding Limud Torah, and because you will subsequently forget the intricacies of calculating Rosh Chodesh, you'll come to err. Rashi explains that mistakes in calculations could ultimately lead to eating chametz on Pesach. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in a brisa, Cherem say in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Beitza Te'achel Hi V'Ima, an egg that was laid in Yantiv may be eaten both it and its mother hen. The Gemara asks what the case is dealing with. If the brisa is referring to a hen that's omedes l'achila, that was designated for consumption, it's obvious that both the hen and the egg are permitted. If it's referring to a hen omedes l'gadol beitzim, that was designated to produce eggs, then both the hen and the egg are prohibited. Rashi explains that Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda's broad application of Muxalan. Therefore, since the hen was not specifically designated as a yantav meal, both the hen and the egg are muksa. Rabbi Zera answers that the brisa means te'acha agav ima, that the egg may be eaten on account of its mother, which Rashi explains to mean that if the hen is eaten, then the egg may be eaten. Abai clarified that the case is when one purchased the hen before Yantiv for no defined purpose. If he shacked it on Yantiv, the hen has been determined to have been designated for consumption and the egg is permitted. If it was not shacked, it's determined that it was designated to produce eggs, so the hen and the egg are muksa. Point number two, Rav Masna said, if branches fell from a palm tree directly into an oven in Yantiv, one may add to them other wood that had been prepared for kindling and may burn them. The Gemara asks why this is permitted, given that when he arranges the wood in the oven, he'll unavoidably move the prohibited wood, which is muksa. The Gemara answers, kevin deruba de heteraninu. Since the majority of the wood is not muksa, when he moves the wood around, he's moving only permitted wood. Rashi explains that the muksa wood is batal barov, nullified in the majority. When the Gemara further questions why this is permissible, given the rule that ein mevatrin isu l'chatchila, we do not deliberately nullify a prohibited item, it answers that this rule only applies to the raises, not to the rabbanans. The Gemara goes on to clarify that even according to Rav Ashi, who holds kol davar sheyesh matirin afil but the rabbanan lo batil, any item that will eventually become permitted, even if it's only prohibited now as of the Rabbanan. Cannot become batal. That only applies to Eisi Le'esura Be'ena, when the prohibited item remains extant. But here, the prohibited item is being consumed in the fire, and therefore may be nullified. And point number three, the grass, why we observe 2 days of Yantiv and Gal, now that we know when Rosh Chodesh is established, referring to their knowledge that was gleaned from the fixed calendar introduced by Hillel, the final Nasi at the end of the Amoraic era. The Gemara answers, it's because of the following message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hizaru b'minhag avosechem b'yedechem. Be careful to perpetuate the custom of your fathers that is in your hands, and continue to observe 2 days of Yantiv. Zimni negazio malchus gezerah v'asik l'kalkule. For someday the Gentile government may issue a decree forbidding Limud Torah, and because you will subsequently forget the intricacies of calculating Rosh Chodesh, you'll come to err. Rashi explains that mistakes in calculations could ultimately lead to eating chametz on Pesach. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Dalet, and our standard simmon is a Dalet, a door. So here goes. The hen hanging out by the door with an egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, where food was cooking for the family who made sure to observe Yom Tov Sheni with the festive meal. Once again, in slow motion. The hen hanging out by the door, that must be one Daf Dalet. The hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Chaim say in the name of Eliezer, Beitzete Achel hi be'ima, an egg that was laid in Yantiv may be eaten both it and its mother hen. Rabbi Zera says that the Braisa means Te Achel Agav ima, that the egg may be eaten on account of its mother, which Rashi explains to mean that if the hen is eaten, then the egg may be eaten. Abaya clarified that the case is when one purchases the hen before Yantiv for no divine purpose. If he shacked it on Yantiv, then the hen has been determined to have been designated for consumption, and the egg is permitted. If it was not shechted, then it's been determined that it was designated to produce eggs, and so the hen and the egg are muksa. So the hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, which reminds us, Rav Masna said, if branches fell from a palm tree directly into an oven and yantiv, one may add onto them other wood that had been prepared for kindling and may burn them. Gemara explains that since the majority of the wood is not muksa, when he moves the wood around, he's moving only permitted wood. Rashi explains that the muksa is batal barov, it's nullified in the majority. When the Gemara further questions why this is permissible, given the rule that ein mevatlin issur chetchila, we do not deliberately nullify a prohibited item, it answers that this rule only applies to the derisas, not to the rabbanans. And being that the wood is being burned up in the fire, it's also not a problem of davar she'eshul matirin. So the hen hanging out by the door with its egg waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, where food was cooking for the family, made sure to observe Yom Tov Sheni with a festive meal. Which reminds us why we observe 2 days of Yantiv and Gal, now that we know when Rosh Chodesh is established, referring to the knowledge that was gleaned from the fixed calendar introduced by Hillel, the final Nasi, at the end of the Amoraic era. The Gemara answers, it's because of the following message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Hizaharu b'minhag avosechem yedechem, be careful to perpetuate the custom of your fathers that's in your hands, and continue to observe 2 days of Yantiv, for someday the Gentile government may issue a decree forbidding Limud Torah, because you'll subsequently forget the intricacies of calculating Rosh Chodesh, you'll come to err. Rashi explains that mistakes in calculations could ultimately lead to eating chametz on Pesach. So once again, the hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, where food was cooking for the family who made sure to observe Yom Tov Sheni with a festive meal. All right, now it's time for a four blah bach chazara. Daf Nun Hey. So the simmer Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, that must be one Daf Nun Hey. The proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, which reminds us that after the Gemara successfully refutes the ruling of Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina, who taught that a separate set of trumpet blasts are blown for each musaf offering, it asks how to understand the brice and the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina brought as a source for his teaching. Ravina said, Lomar shemarichim b'tekiyas. The brice and the pasuk mean only that the blasts are lengthened, not that they're repeated. The Rabban of Kasariya said, and then Rabbi Acha, Lomar shemarbe b'tokin. The brice means to say that when there's more than one musaf, we increase the number of trumpeters, but not the number of trumpet blasts. So the proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, gave up when he saw 70 bulls head toward him, which reminds us that the 70 bulls that are brought in sukkahs correspond to the Shivim Umos, the 70 nations, and they provide kapara for them in order that rain may fall throughout the world. The single bull of Shemini Atzeres is Keneged Uma Yechida. It corresponds to the singular nation of Israel. This can be compared to a king of flesh and blood who said to his servants to prepare for him a big banquet. When the final day of the banquet came, he said to his beloved companion, Asli Sudukatana Kadesha Anamimcha, prepare for me a small meal so they may enjoy your company. Rush explains that it is as if to say that I derive pleasure from your company alone. So the proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, gave up when he saw 70 bulls head toward him, guided by 24 ranchers who like to share meat equally on their holidays. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that during three periods of the year referring to the Regalim, all 24 Mishmaros were equal in the sharing of the Emurim of the Regalim and in the division of the Lechem Upanim. It was taught in a brisa that the Torah states, Ubaba ko avos navsho v'sheres, and he comes with all the desire of his soul, and he shall serve. This teaches that a Kohen may offer Kabbanis even if it's not the week of his watch. To dispel the notion that this is even on other days of the year other than the Regalim, the Torah states, Me'achad sha'arecha, from one of your cities. Lo amarti el b'shar shekol Yisrael nichnasim b'shar echad. I've only said all Mishmaros are equal when they enter one gate, which is the time of their Regalim. During all other times, only Kohanim of that week's watch are entitled to offer the Kabbanis. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is the Shusher and Shul going, Nu Nu, Nu Nu. So here goes. The Shusher and the Sukkah Shusher. That must be more on Daf Nun Vav, Nu Nu. The Shusher and the Sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehechianu before the Leisha B'Sukkah, which reminds us of the Machlokes regarding which takes precedence, the Barach and the Sukkah, or the Shehechianu. Rav says that one recites the Leisha B'Sukkah because he holds Chiyuv D'Yom Ha'Adif. The obligation of the day takes precedence. Whereas Rabbi Barachana said that one recites the Shehechianu first because he holds Tadir Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodim, when that which is frequent conflicts with that which is not frequent, that which is frequent takes precedence. The Gemara attempts to connect this Machlokes to the Machlokes between Beisham Beis Hillel regarding which comes first when reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, the Barach on the one and the Barach on the day, but concludes that they're not necessarily the same Machlokes. So the Shusher and the Sukkah shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehechianu before the Leisha B'Sukkah, and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the Sukkah door, which reminds us, the final mission of the Masechta brings the Machlokes regarding the division on the Lechem Upanim the rest of the year. The Tanakhama holds that the incoming Mishmar and the outgoing Mishmar split the Lechem Upanim equally, with each Mar receiving 6 loaves. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the incoming Mishmar receives 7 loaves, and the outgoing Mishmar receives 5 loaves. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the 2 loaves are granted as schar hagafas dlasos, as compensation for the closing the temple gates in the evening, meaning that those who open the gates in the morning should have had the duty to complete the job and close them at night. Since the incoming Mishmar is doing the work of the outgoing Mishmar, it behooves the outgoing Mishmar to give one of their loaves in payment. So the Shusher and the Sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehechianu before the Leisha B'Sukkah and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the Sukkah door was horrified when his little son told all the guests that people should stand in the presence of a Shusher. Which reminds us, 2 reasons are given as to why the Mishmar of Bilga was penalized in that it always divided the Lechem Upanim in the south. Its specific ring that was used to shech the carbon during its watch was sealed, so they had to use another Mishmar's ring, and a specific alcove to deposit the knives was sealed. It was either due to an incident involving Miriam Bas Bilga, a daughter of one of its members who became an apostate, or it was because the Mishmar was tardy in coming to the base of Migdash when it was their week to serve. The Gemara asks on the first reason if it's fair that the entire family be penalized over one daughter's action, and by answers that it is, as people say, Shusa denuka b'shuka oda avu odime. The utterances of a child in public express the views of either his father or mother. When the Gemara persists, and that's why the whole Mishmar should be penalized, by answers, oy la rasha, oy la shcheno. Woe to the wicked one, and woe to his neighbor. The Gemara concludes, conversely, tov la tzadik, tov la shcheno. It will be good for the tzadik, and good for his neighbor. Daf Beis. So the Simmer Daf Beis is a house. So here goes. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house. House, that must be on Daf Beis. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantiv, which reminds the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'er shenol debi Yantiv be'shamay omrim te'achil, be'sil omrimo te'achil. Concerning an egg that was laid in Yantiv, be'shamay say it may be eaten on Yantiv, and be'sil say it may not be eaten. The Gemara asks, what type of hen are we dealing with? Rav Nachman said that the mission refers to a hen that was omeretz l'gadol beitzim, that was designated to produce eggs, and the one who subscribes to a broad application of the laws of muksa, referring to Rabbi Yehuda, subscribes to also to the prohibition of nolad, while the one who rejects a broad application of muksa laws, referring to Rabbi Shimon, also rejects a prohibition of nolad. Beis Shammai permit one to eat the egg because they hold like Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of nolad, whereas Beis Hillel forbid it because they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold of nolad. So the kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantiv. Were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi who was more machmir on Yantiv, Which reminds the Gemara asks why Rebbe, who formulated the Stam Mishnayos, formulated those in Shabbos more leniently, like Rebbe Shimon, whereas those regarding Yantav he formulated according to the more stringent view of Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara answers regarding Shabbos, whose laws are more restrictive, and so people will not come to treat it disrespectfully. Rebbe formulated a Stam Mishnah according to Rebbe Shimon, who is more lenient. However, regarding Yantav, whose laws are somewhat more liberal, and so people will come to treat it disrespectfully, Rebbe formulated a Stam Mishnah according to Rebbe Yehuda, who is more stringent. So the kids who were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantav were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi, who was more machmir on Yantav, that it was forbidden to eat, since it had been prepared the day before, on Shabbos. Which reminds us, Rabbi's explanation of the Mishnah is that we're actually dealing with a tarnagolas of medes l'achila, a hen that was designated for consumption and is therefore not muksa. And we're discussing a case of an egg that was laid on Yantav that fell after Shabbos, and Beis Hillel prohibits its consumption, mishum hachana, because of the principle of preparation. For Rabbi holds that any egg laid today became fully formed inside the hen yesterday. And Rabbi follows his own reasoning, for he said, that which is written by Yabba Yom HaShishi Be'echinu Asher Yaviyu, and it will be on the sixth day that they shall prepare the man which they bring, which teaches us that Chol Mechin L'Shabbos V'Chol Mechin L'Yantav. A weekday prepares for Shabbos and a weekday prepares for Yantav, but Yantav cannot prepare for Shabbos, nor can Shabbos prepare for Yantav. Beis Hillel therefore prohibit an egg laid on Yantav since its preparation occurred on Shabbos. Daf Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gemal, a camel. So here it goes. The camel rider, that must be run Daf Gimel, Gemal. The camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice. Which reminds the Gemara brings two more explanations for the Mishnah on why an egg laid on Yantav is prohibited. Rav Yosef said, Gezer Mishum Peres Anoshim is a Gezer because it resembles fruit that falls from a tree on Yantav, which is prohibited by a decree lest one actually climb a tree and pick a fruit. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, Gezer Mishum Mashkin Shazavu. The egg laid on Yantav is prohibited because it resembles juice that flowed on Yantav, which is prohibited because it might lead one to actually squeeze the fruits on Yantav and transgress the malach of dash, threshing. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly knows an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why Rav Yosef didn't explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yitzchak, and answers that Rav Yosef would say, an egg is food and fruits are food, in contrast to juice, which is not a food but a liquid. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yitzchak did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, and answers that Rabbi Yitzchak would say, an egg is absorbed in the hen and issues forth, and juice is absorbed in its peel and issues forth, in contrast to fruits, which are already exposed even before they become detached from their place of growth. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly noticed an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit, and was a suffolk whether it had been laid on Yantav. Which reminds the Gemara, why is an egg that was a suffolk whether it was laid on Yantav usher according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak? Why should the suffolk be usher since kol suffolk the Rabban lakula? Every suffolk the Rabban is lakula. After considerable analysis, the Gemara brings Rav Ashi and Dav Dalet Amud Aleph, who explains that the egg is forbidden because it is a davar she'eshul matirin, an item that will become permitted, meaning after Yantav, but called davar she'eshul matirin, afil b'do Rabban l'batil, and any item that will become permitted, even if it's now prohibited in the Rabbanan, cannot become nullified in a mixture. Rashi explains that just as we're machmir in a mixture, we're also machmir in a case of a suffolk. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman, Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.